In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, we commence our reading with verse 4 to 8. Tonight, God willing, I would like to focus again on the verse 6 and 7 and pray that God will inspire our hearts through the reading of Scripture and the reflection we're going to make later on the Bible. Philippians chapter 4, we commence our reading with verse 4 down to verse 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Scripture this morning. Thank you. I think we continue with the announcements. When I mentioned the kids, I come from Romania, and one of the things and the concepts in the Romanian environment was during the communist time to annihilate the mind, the freedom of mind, to somehow brainwash the people and make them think like everyone else. You'll see that and pray for North Korea at the moment. The circumstances there, people are brainwashed thinking that they are the greatest. I'm not saying in any way to diminish their significance, but it's that mentality in a communist society. And when I was a child and in school and through all this development, they tried to put pressure on us to reject the church, to move away from the reality, and to follow their foolish ways. But what I realize, and that it is a spiritual warfare. It is a battle which is taking place. It's not a natural human warfare. It's not a war with weapons, nuclear weapons, or anything like that. It is a battle within inside. And Satan will attempt in any way to conquer that field, to discourage us, to bring us to a place of discouragement, to frustrate our walk and to show us that we are nothing, yet we are everything in Christ because he is in us. And as I reflect on this passage and look into that together, I was thinking of the human body the way God has created, with the existence of a body which is physical, is sin, the soul, and the spirit. And in this way of function, we are to function well when the conscience is related to God and the Spirit of God works in the conscience. We'll make people aware of the need of God and they will follow a certain pattern in that way to follow and please God. So there is always a battle for people who are outside God. Their conscience is marred or somehow diminished. It doesn't seem to work too fully to the what God has created it for to work. So in this battle, as we face this, it's very important to be well-armed to fight this battle. How can we protect ourselves? How can we face the trials of life or difficulties and also be encouraged to know that through all of that, you can be strong, you can rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always? Is that this morning? Is anyone can endorse that? Be happy that God is present with you. Be happy that God is always blessing you. No matter what happens, no matter what circumstances are around you, God is always present with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 to 44, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that was sown is perishable, is raised to imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, is raised in power. It's sown in natural body, is raised in spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. We are spiritual people. God has created us like that. And when we give our life to Christ, we have received this wonderful connection with God. God communicates with us. We're also challenged to always be conscious of our walk and make sure that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom we are sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, the body will drop away and change, but the Spirit will remain strong. When we follow God, when we trust Him, when we trust in Him, He directs our path. Last week I was quoting to our children from Proverbs, or at the breakfast table, and I say, trust in the Lord in all your ways and acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I remember saying that when I was in high school, and a couple of my colleagues laughed at me in the past. But what a wonderful blessing is to trust in the Lord. Do you trust Him this morning? Have you placed your life entirely in His hands? And whatever circumstances, God is present with you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3-5, for though we live in a world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In Ephesians, Paul has advised the church, how can we be strong? And not long ago, I was looking through this passage. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, there is a responsibility here to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We can go on and say, how can we do that? And I love that passage. How can we submit ourselves to God? Paul says in Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be strong. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So these are several aspects. Paul is going, and I would like to highlight to you, but I would like to focus on the passage. How can we build protection around ourselves? How can we be strong and God will be present with us? How can we rejoice when circumstances of life are not going that way, will not provide any reasons to rejoice? I recall one of the stories of the war when Christians as well as Jews were persecuted and they were taken to a camp and they were suffering there, and this man got very mad at them because they saw peace in their heart. And they took them one by one, challenging them to renegade their faith and move away from their beliefs in so many ways. And these people said to, every one of them said this, you can beat us, you can humiliate us, you can ever do whatever you want, but you cannot take away the joy of the Lord from our hearts. People might attempt to destroy the flesh, but what the Lord has placed in us, no one can take away from us. What a tremendous joy that is. So the first thing we can put in place as Christians is to have this wonderful protection of praise. When circumstances go wrong, when things are like that, you rejoice in the Lord. If you recall one of the classic movies, obviously we had some eyewitnesses, but we don't have the details like you'll have in a society of today. But we were talking about the Christians who were persecuted in Nero and other difficult. Well, here is Jim. I'm not going to argue with you, Jim. But one of the things with this happens whenever they were persecuted on their arenas, and they were there and they were cruel to them and they were destroying them and in a very difficult and cruel circumstances, they were singing praises to God. Do you know that that attitude annoyed them more than anything else in their testimony? The devil got upset with that. The emperor got upset with that. When we can express joy and peace in our difficult circumstances, we win the greatest battle. And Christians, when circumstances like that are present, God is overruling any kind of decisions. I'm sure you probably heard, back in America, Joseph Tsun, a very famous Romanian preacher. He opened a university in Oradea, a tremendous man of God. He had some experience of backsliding way many years ago. He came back to the Lord, but God blessed him so powerfully, and he was so active in preaching the word. He, in Oradea, started a revival, and people were coming, and security was after him. And he obviously, security came and took him away, took him to the office, interrogated him, gave him a very hard time. And he said to him, "Joseph, or Mr. Tsun, I'm telling you now, if you do not deny this and stop this work, we're going to put you in prison for that." And he stood in front of that officer and said to him, "Do whatever you want to do. Put me in prison. Even kill me. My blood will testify before God." It was so hard for that man. That man had a heart attack and died, the officer. When we stand before God and God is present with us, our attitude of peace, our attitude of rejoicing wins the battle for the glory of God. What a tremendous promise that is. This is why Paul says in here, "Rejoice in the Lord." Do you think that Paul's circumstances were providing that reason to rejoice? Well, you look in the book of Philippians, you connect with the history, and in fact, when Paul could not write those words. You know why? He was chained. He was in jail. And yet Paul comes and says, "Rejoice." What a tremendous blessing that is. Rejoice in the Lord always. Even in facing circumstances like that, even in difficulties, when God is in control, when you are right with God, you have all the reasons to rejoice. Of course, it comes with a challenge. We have to make sure that we are right with God. We have to make sure that circumstances of life will not come as a result of our disobedience, will come as a trial to train us in righteousness and bring us closer to God. Rejoice in the Lord always. In Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. He has promised to make all things work for good," Romans 8, 28. "He has promised to go with you through everything in life," Hebrews 13, verse 5. "He has promised you abiding victory," 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, and Romans 8, 37. "He has promised us that the destination will be worth every mile of the trip," Romans 8, 18. "Therefore, even when you can't be happy about your life or circumstances, build a wall of praise. Ask God for strength and ask God for enabling to praise Him in all kinds of circumstances." But it's not only that, it's also God is training us. And when James is making reference to the trials and difficulties, he comes with a statement or a word. God is allowing that in our lives to build in us patience. You know something, sometimes I'm reluctant, "Lord, please teach me patience." And you know what I mean. You say, well, when you pray for that God will bring circumstances, because only circumstances, difficult circumstances, will teach you patience. And sometimes I say, "Lord, I'm not going to pray for this anymore. Just give me a break and help me. Help me just feel it smoothly going with no other interference." But God wants us to build a wall of patience. God wants us to make sure that we, when we look at life, we see beyond that. When circumstances will come, we'll not be in a panic, like, "What's going wrong?" Well, there is a reason, a purpose. You know, I was thinking of David this week, and you all know the story. It was a situation in his life. He was walking down on a part of the hill, and another man, Shema, came on the other side of the hill, and he was shouting at David, "You man of blood," and he was making him and insulting him in so many ways. The soldiers of David came and said, "Can we go and kill that man?" He said, no, let him say it. God might allow him to say that. But it helped David to build his faith strong in God. He moved away. Even in circumstances like that, no matter what accusation, no matter what comes against you, allow the things to be like that. Because God will prove He's right one. God is present with you. God will lead you. God is there for you. The word, and when you mention about patience, I like why Paul puts it in here. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. What a tremendous gift. The word moderation literally means gentle or gracious spirit. It has the idea of being patient with others, of giving way to the rights and wishes of others. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Paul is saying that the reality of our faith should be demonstrated in how we deal with other people. If the focus of our lives is on ourselves, when people hurt us, slander us, or cross us, there will be a desire to retaliate and get vengeance. But when we see beyond that, we see that God has a purpose, and every kind of circumstances are allowed in your life for a purpose. God is present with you. He will never leave you. He is there to take you through all the way, patiently, quietly. Sometimes we have to bite our tongue. And I said sometimes we have to put auto bandages on our tongue. Probably we bite it too much. But God is present with us. And ultimately, in His sovereignty, in His love, He proves us. When we adopt the mentality of self-love that is all around us, we will always look at the things people do and say as a personal attack. And it will cause us to feel angry and humiliated in so many ways. When we put a different perspective in this, it is a purpose. Everything works for good for those who trust and follow God. The perspectives change completely. Then we are also challenged with another wonderful protection, the protection of prayer. When we pray, I remember when I was working in Romania, and I had a secular job prior to getting to ministry in Romania over 20 years ago. And there were friends and colleagues in where I was working. They were not Christians. And in some occasions, I said to them, I'm going to pray for you. This was after the revolution, by the way. It was freedom now. It was more difficult to say before that. You know something? Sometimes I'm thinking, today you are restricted in hospitals to pray for people. It sounds a bit like not nice. After revolution, we can say whatever we felt, and it's still freedom there. They were scared when I said, I'm going to pray for you. It's something like mystic hits them. Don't pray for me like that. Please, don't. Afraid. Prayer is the power of God working through people to, first of all, work in your life when you pray. God is active in your life. And by praying, God is encouraging you, but is also providing response to whatever circumstances you are praying for. What a tremendous blessing that is. He says in here, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Now, when you read this verse, do not be anxious about anything. Now, I should not ask for a hand up here. Is anyone who is not anxious about anything here? And I will be down on the ground myself. Are we worried and anxious? It is human nature. Do you know something? God understands us. He sees our weaknesses. And when we are anxious, Paul is not saying here, well, why, poor on you, you're not the right person, you are anxious about that. God knows our weaknesses. God knows our struggles. Yet He provides for us peace. But because when you come and pray, when you stand before God, when you bring your thoughts before God, okay, you might still think about it there, and you want to remove it, and it's still there. But what happens? A peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds, and can rest secure that God is in control. Verse 6 warns us against the dangers of worry. The word careful has the idea of anxiety. It refers to the state of mind that is agitated over the events or circumstances of life. There is nothing wrong to having concerns. But one thing is clear for every child of God, to show that tremendous confidence in God. I remember when I was working in Antrim Road, 7.5 years I was there, and did a work, and there were a couple of people there. And one couple, a family, had quite a challenging task in the family and several aspects there, praying that God will provide. And they went through all of that, and they stood out, and some other non-believers saw the circumstances. And you know what they said to them? We are amazed at your peace in those kind of circumstances. You never realize what you show to people around you when you can have such an attitude, not of panic, but of confidence in God. That attitude is stronger than any sermon you can hear. God is speaking to those people through your life. What a tremendous blessing that is. Worries are dangerous because it allows the mind to conceive false notions about God. Worry says God is dead, God is not in control. It could remove the faith. Yet what we are challenged with is this: cast all your worries on Him because He cares for you. When the problems of life come our way, we are given some precious help in the verses. The Lord is near. You made a commitment to Christ. When you make that commitment to Christ, God is always present with you. He's always near to you. And nothing will remove them. He has made that commitment with you. You came and you gave your life to Christ. I will always be with you. The Lord is near. What a tremendous blessing that is. Not just in his second coming, but always for his children. Keeps your life free from the love of money and selfish ways of doing things. Brings us close to God. And you know something? I was talking to a pastor last week. And sometimes we feel so inadequate in our own life, in our own experiences. We feel like, Lord, we don't deserve. If it wouldn't be for your grace, where we would be? But he says this to me: God brings us to the point of meekness to realize that we are nothing without Him, so that we will acknowledge Him, that we are everything through Him. What a joy that is. Everything which stands for us is God in us. I remember, probably you heard about Richard Wurmbrand. He was a famous preacher in Romania. He suffered he was a Jew as well as a Christian. He spent a lot of years in prison. He passed away a few years ago in the United States. But I remember, so you look at the several things and throw that to highlight. And one of them was talking about marriage. And this fellow was trying to talk about his potential wife to his father and was showing all the qualities and everything there. And he went to the father, and the father had a wee board there, and he was putting, oh, she's good at that, zero. She's good at that, zero. She's good at the other thing, zero. And the guy was shattered and said, well, but she's a child of God. And in front of the zero, he put a one and gave value. What a tremendous blessing that is. What highlights in us, yes, in us and through ourselves, we are nothing, but with Christ, we are everything. We become somebody when we are in Christ. It's also to exercise the tool of prayer. Paul speaks of prayer, supplication, and request. This might be the thought of a general praying, specific prayer, and also detailed praying. God wants us to depend on prayer like we depend on the food to nourish our body every day, like we depend on a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. God wants us to depend on prayer as the normal routine of life, not just to make it a routine, but to be a vital need for our spiritual life. Prayer is important. Also develop a thankful heart. Lord, I don't understand it. It might be difficult for me, but I want to thank you for it. In doing that, you already opened the way for an answer in your situation. Be thankful for it. I remember watching a children's program, and that's what you're teaching the children there. Lord, I don't understand. It is difficult. It annoys me. Yet, I want to thank you for it. Because everything God allows in your life, He allows it with a purpose. You see a purpose in everything what happens. The Lord's promise to us is that He will replace our worries with peace. When we come before Him in trusting, humbling prayer, the word keep in verse 7 means to garrison, to build a fort around, to post a guard of protection. What God will do? You pray, and He comes and guards your mind. Builds it around it. Lord, I'm not going to allow you to fall with this. I'm going to allow keep him up. Even if he feels like that falling, know you are there. And God is there for you. Then also God wants, the last one, to also be pure in our hearts. It is a challenge. And one of the things we have to be made aware of, because we have to be right with God. When sometimes things happen, and it's like in discipline, God loves his children. And there are moments when discipline is required. So there will be good circumstances like that when God wants to deal with a certain issue in your life, and you will bring certain aspects in which make you aware that those things ought to be corrected, to be put the right way. God wants us to be pure. Nothing to accuse us. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. All of these words Paul uses in this verse are a picture of the Word of God. We are in a reflection with the Word of God, similar to looking to a mirror. When we come into the presence of God, when we open our Bible in the morning or during the day, when we have that time allocated to spend time with God, we reflect our lives into the Word of God, and the Word of God reflects back to us where we ought to be. And God shows us where we are. It is honest, honorable. It is just, right. It is pure, holy, clean. It is lovely, beautiful. It is of good report, good reputation. It's full of virtue, excellence, and praise, that which tends towards worship. God wants us to be people like that. And in our testimony, in our lives, we do like Paul says in Romans 12. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice for the glory of God. The sacrifice is passive, does not reject what's taking place. It's placed there, and the whole act is taking place. When God comes to us and says, no action from you, just lay yourself before me. Let me do what I want to do with you. Similar to you read in the book of Jeremiah, the potter's house, God takes you there. He molds you, he makes you. And sometimes something hard is there and doesn't work the way he wants. He gives a throw to break that off, take it out, and it starts again. Now that throw is sore. Yet God is working in us the image of Christ. In other words, if we fill our minds with the Word of God, there will be no room for evil, no room for worry, no room for fear, no room for vengeance, no room for confusion or trouble. A mind filled with God reflects and is stable and reflects the love of Christ. And as I reflect on those words we've looked at this morning, if we want and we need in us, we need a fresh encounter with God, we need God to work in our lives. We need to reflect how we can do that. We came to know the Lord. God is present in us. Let's refresh ourselves, these walls, walls of protection in our lives. Let's reflect, first of all, on the idea of building a wall of praise, being strong, construct the protection, and praise God in all kinds of circumstances. Make sure that in everything you do, you accept God's way in your life. It's also important to be protected by patience. And it's not easy, and it's hard. That when God is present with us, he will enable us to develop such an attitude. Some of us might be, like myself, a bit quick to things, and some things like that will go. God says, slow down, calm down. I want to work in your life to become the person I want you to be. And when people look at you, they will be pleased and amazed at your attitude. It is our first sermon we do to people, even out on the street, even if you go for grocery, even where you go. If you have such an attitude, people will reflect in you. You don't realize the glory of God. It's also important to have protection in prayer. Prayer surrounds us. Prayer builds us. Prayer encourages us. Prayer moves us forward with God. And then finally, to have that wonderful protection of purity. Everything in our lives ought to reflect the glory of God. May the Lord bless us and encourage us. And may the Lord help us to follow him and be blessed by him. God bless you. Amen.